Yeah. The Hebrew is a lot more difficult to read.
Now we're used to all the exceptions that he brought
up. Sure. I know. The Hebrew is a lot more difficult to read. That's one of the reasons we spend a lot of time doing it. I did a question on the
we don't have the verb amy in the subjunctive or.
No, only luo. Luo is the only verb.
Perfect either.
No. No perfect subjunctives because there's none in the New Testament. So, some of the charts show the forms for the perfect subjunctive, but there aren't any in the New Testament, so we're not even going to worry about it. So all you need to know is the verb luo in the subjunctive and imperative. I think there might be some perfect imperatives in the Attic Greek or something too, but they're not in the New Testament. So. Okay, well, before the test, we left off. We finished lesson 45, just got started on lesson 46, looking at the information here, so we'll do that today. And I did tell you what the assignment was for lesson 46, didn't I? Okay, and I don't know if we'll get to it today or not, but if we do, we'll get started with it. If not, assume that is the assignment for tomorrow, so we'll go through it tomorrow, and then probably get started with it today. There isn't a lot of grammar in this chapter, it's just mostly more exceptions, problems. Three hey is what we're dealing with mainly here. Hit field and three hey. And three heys are very unusual, but their unusualities seem to be consistent through the paradigms of the derived verbs, at least as far as the endings are concerned. You generally get this hey being dropped off and things of that nature taking place. So, in some of the forms at least. Or converted to a tau or something like that in the perfect. So the three hey for hifil, we have three hey and then also one gutter, also one yod, also one nun. In other words, it shows you what happens if the three hey happens to also be one gutter or something else too. So for just a standard three hey, the perfect form is hirba, imperfect, in the particular verb we're looking at now, hirba, imperfect, yarbe, adjusive, Yerev, which you might wonder, looking at that adjusted form, what that came from. Yerev. Because the hay dropped off, of course, and then you're wondering what the yod is for. You know, the yod is just the yod of the imperfect. The imperative, harbe, infinitive construct, harboth, participle, marbe. Now, if it's also one guttural, it's just a matter of combining the problems with one guttural with the three hey. And so you're going to get a different, you're going to, you know, the ion can't take the shwa, so, in this form, so you get he'ela, ya'ale, ya'al, notice that justice form's got pathox, and those turn out to be indistinguishable from call forms for the, we'll get to that a little bit later in this chapter. In other words, there's no way to tell for certain verbs whether, if you have it in the adjusive, whether it's a call or a hifil. Could be either one. Okay, then you've got ya'ale, ha'aloth, ma'ale for the one guttural. One yod, you've got hora, yore, yod, yor, hore, horoth, more. Just combining one yod problems with three A problems. One nun, hikka, you've got the nun being assimilated there with the dagesh. And yakke, just plain yak for the jessive, get that apocopated form. And since you had a doubling, the problem here is that when you lop the hay off, then you would have had two kafs at the end of the word in effect. And they don't like that, so they just use one, drop the other one off. So you just end up with yak, and that's all that's left. Okay, then imperative, hake, infinitive construct, hakoth, and participle, make. So see, the nun's gone, and the hay drops off in some of the forms, and then the doubled kaf drops, and so all you end up with biak. Okay, remarks. Note that the otherwise characteristic long hirik yod vowel of hifil verbs is not present in these forms. That's perhaps one of the biggest problems with them. The hirik yod is one thing you kind of relied upon to tell hifil, and it's not here. So the stem endings and their inflection are virtually the same as that learned of all other verbs from the roots three hey. for Bana and, you know, so forth. Bana in the call, and Nivna for the Nifal, Inna for the PL. All of those had the same kind of problems in the endings. Only the beginning of the form marks it clearly as a hifil verb. So without that here at Gil, the only way you can tell it's hifil is to look at the beginning of the form and the vowel points there. The inflection is given below only in abbreviated form because of the similarities to other verbs already mentioned. Note that in the perfect, the stem vowel before the suffix is beginning with a consonant is either seriod or hirikyod. So you'll see the forms both ways, in other words, what he's saying. Look at the example here. In the perfect, you've got hirba and hirbatha, and then hirbetha or hirbitha. Both of them you'll see. Either it's seriod or a hirikyod in that perfect form. So all throughout the paradigm, that's the way they're going to appear both ways. In the imperfect, you've got yarbeh, and then further on down the paradigm, tarbi, tarbenna, and that's something you've seen before with the segol yod. So that's pretty typical of three hays. And it's just a matter of looking at the vowel point in the first part in order to tell whether it's hifil or what something else. Imperative, harbe, harbi, and so forth. We're starting to get into the ones that are awful hard to recognize. These are the tricky ones, and the next few hifil ones. That's why they spread hifil out for so many chapters, because a lot of the hifil ones are a little tough to recognize because of this. Because of the cues that you immediately pick up, you know, are not here. The hirikyos and so forth. So you're kind of left looking at vowel points, and those are harder to remember. Okay. Top of the next page gives the infinitive constructs, harboth, harbothi, harbothaka, etc. Putting the, you know, that's the infinitive construct, and then the, with the suffixes, it's harbothi, you know, and harbotha, harbothaka, etc. Infinitive absolute, harbe, participle, marbe, marba, marbim, marboth. That's pretty straightforward. Okay, the verbs he'ela, hora, and hikka illustrate various combinations of root types. Their inflection is like that of hirba. So once you see the basic change there, you should apply the rules that you've had before for one yod, one nun, and so forth, and they're straightforward. The jussive forms, now this is the interesting thing, the jussive forms, like those of the call verbs of roots 3 he, show the loss of the final stem vowel, eh, so that he drops off and the segol he, that's gone, and the resultant secondary vowel. So what you need now, because when, once you drop that ending off, you've got to, in order to even pronounce it, you've got to put something in. So yarba, you drop the yarb, the e off, and you get yarb, but you don't pronounce yarb. They put yarev. They get a secondary vowel in there between the resh and the bait there. And that's just typical of what we've seen before. You get a segalet type pattern, in other words, in your jussive on three hays. Hifil verbs, then, are distinguished from call verbs only by having segol and not hirik or seri in the first syllable of the jussive and converted form. So looking at the example here, for the call we have wayibin, and it's got a hirik in it. The hifil is wayibin. So the only difference between the call and the hifil in this jussive form is a hirik in one and a segol in the other. Now, if the root is one guttural as well, then there's no distinction. Because with the one guttural, they got pathak. And they both get pathak. So, waya'al is the same. It's the call form, and he went up, or in the hifil, and he led up. So there's no difference in the Hebrew word for to go up or to lead up. He went up and he led up in the jussive. And remember the jussive, the reason it's so important is because the jussive is a very commonly used form. That's the normal form that's used in the converted perfect. Converted imperfect, giving you perfect meaning. So that's the one that's going to be the most common in the narratives. And therefore, we should expect to see a number of instances in which this problem exists, and therefore would have to, of course, look at context to decide whether it's he led them up or he went up. And hopefully your context will decide it. If not, then you've got to leave it ambiguous. Note that in the jussive form of hikka, the root naka to one nun, the expected yak with two k's there at the end, the ka, double ka, doubled from yakeh, or I guess, and then it drives to yakeh, becomes just yak with the second kaf dropped off. In other words, no dagesh, by the regular loss of doubling at the end of a word. In other words, they don't like to end a word with two consonants, and so they'll normally drop one off. Compare the call verb yeten. He will extend, and you get the jussive just yet. That's all that's left. So we've already run into the fact that the shortest forms that you can find are, and almost the shortest words in Hebrew are these apocopated three hey jussives. You usually end up with only two letters. Okay. Occasionally, segol is found instead of hirik in the preformative of the perfect. Just happens to you, and you know you've got herah to cause to see, hegla to lead in exile. Instead of the hirik, you've got a segol in some forms. Then the infinitive absolute, harbe, from hirba, to increase, cause to be numerous, is commonly used as an adverb, very much. Sometimes then with an added me'od. So this me'od already meant to intensify something. Very, and now you can put this on also, and you can make a double intensive almost here. So what you'll see is that they use the infinitive absolute. Of course, that's a form that doesn't decline. So harbe can be used this way. Look at the example: Watev harbe me'od. She wept very much. That's the way it's being translated. So it's almost the idea: she wept to a very much increase. You know. If you take an infinitive absolute, in the sense of, or she wept.
Very increasingly.
Yeah, she very increasingly wept or something, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to word it in English, but that's the idea. Remember, we've already seen infinitive absolutes used in conjunction with a normal verb to intensify it, weeping, he wept, or something like that. Here it's using not the same infinitive absolute as the verb that you're using, but it's using the form of this to increase or cause to be numerous, and so you get that intensification there in a different image. Yeah, was there a question? Okay. The numbers from 21 to 99. Because the tens are not inflected for gender, the combination of these with the units, like 20, 20 and 1, 20 and 2, and so forth, where you have the 20 is the 10, and the unit is the 1 or 2, and so forth, are not unduly complicated, because one of them doesn't decline, and then the only thing you have to be concerned about is the unit rather than the 10, and to make sure that the unit agrees with the noun. So the unit may precede or follow the 10, but agrees in gender with the modified noun, which is usually in the singular. So the unit, just like we've seen before, there should be just the numbers from 1 to 9. Those numbers are going to have their gender distinction. And remember, of course, that you use the form that looks like feminine going with masculine and vice versa. Remember that chapter earlier. So just as an example, the word order is a little bit loose here. You can have the unit before the 10 or vice versa. They don't care whether they say 1 and 20 or 20 and 1. It'll be either one. So you can have the examples here, Echad Esarim Ish, 21 men, or you can have Esarim Echad Ish. So the difference is just saying 1 and 20 or 20 and 1. And the Echad is going with Ish. That's the masculine form to agree with Ish. Or you can have Shanaim Shiloshim Ish, or Shiloshim Shanaim Ish, again 32 men. Arvaim Wishaloshim Isha, 43 women. See, the Arvaim is the feminine form. I mean, it's a form that goes with feminine modifiers, even though it's an im ending. And, of course, presumably you could reverse that too. And then Chamishim Wishesh Nefesh, 56 persons, 56 souls. Okay? And then usually you have the noun in the singular, so that's a little bit unusual to us. We would say, literally says 50 and 6 soul, but it's obviously more than one. Okay, then if the counted item is placed before the numeral, it may be in the plural. So if you stick the item out in front, then you might use the plural. So Anashim Shiloshim Wechad, 31 men. Now it's Anashim, or as you might normally see, Shiloshim Wechad Ish, just using it in the singular. But if you put it out in the front, then there's a tendency to use it in plural. Okay, any questions on that? That's pretty easy to follow. As far as the paradigms, now, when we have a quiz here, we'll probably have one more test before the, one more vocab test and one more translation. This next one will probably be mostly translation, because all these chapters are just complications of the hifil. So you're not going to have, those paradigm things to worry about. So it'll be, we'll end up the note of the semester on an easy test for you, hopefully. Okay. Because we don't hit the pool all the couple lessons. Well, I mean, the whole fall. The whole fall we don't hit till 49, I think. So our next test will be after 48, so we won't have any more new paradigms. Okay. So there isn't too much more grammar here. Now, after we get through lesson 48, after we get through the divide verbs, into next semester, we'll probably slow down a bit. Those last, from chapter 15 on, are going to be a little bit harder to. We're not going to go sailing through those like we do those object suffixes and a lot of clause relationships. And that's kind of the advanced stuff, so that's what we're going to slow down and take a look at. Okay, lesson 46, look at the vocab here first. Verbs, her'ah, to cause to see or to show, hithiel from ra'ah. And hikka, to strike, smite, or kill. This is a root from naka, the one nun verb. Hoda, to give thanks. In the imperfect, this is something funny. In the imperfect, the hay is sometimes anomalously retained. See, normally in the imperfect, drop the hay off, but sometimes they're going to keep it. So I can't tell you the reason, but it stays. So you get Yehodeh instead of Hodeh, or Yodeh, excuse me, like you normally expect. And that's really unusual because the imperfect, you know, the perfect's got the hay for Hithiel, but the imperfect's not supposed to have it. But it stays nevertheless. And we're talking about not the hay of the ending, but we're talking about the hay the perfect prefixed hay stays in the imperfect for some reason. Okay. Yes. That's a good question. Well, Yehuda would be probably from a different derivation anyway. I'm not sure if it's the same situation. Because it's derived from noun Yahweh, and Yehuda means praise or praise Yahweh or something like that. So that's probably a different derivation. But I don't know. I don't know what the pattern would be on this. I would be inclined to guess. If I had to guess, it may be something that's older and that dropped off later. And so you might indeed see it in the Pentateuch and not later on, but I wouldn't be sure about that. Okay, yishka, to give water to or to cause to drink, used as the causative of shatha. Now we've had that verb before. Mm-hmm. So now it means to cause to drink. Hora, to shoot arrows or to teach, direct or teach. So you've got to be careful how you use this one. But to shoot is the same verb for shooting arrows and to direct and teach. So I come into class and they can shoot arrows here. Okay. Yeah, right. I'm not sure what the connection was, but there's probably a connection conceptually like that, trying to either shoot down false ideas or project or, you know, shoot the truth into somebody, you know, and that become part of them. Okay. Yeah, really it would. Yeah. He'ela, to lead or bring up from Allah. We've seen the root of that. Gala or yigle, to uncover or reveal, to go into exile. So that's just an ordinary verb, ordinary three hay. And there's to go into exile. It can mean that, or there's an idiom here, gala es ozni. He informed me. Can you see what the connection would be there? How would you gala es ozni? How would that be?
He revealed to my ear.
Yeah, he revealed to my ear. Yeah. Uh-huh. So interesting. So that's the way you informed. You revealed to him. You revealed to the ear.
That's not the one he did in my ear.
No, I don't think so. I think there's another one. There's a word for there's a digging or piercing that's
to uncover, though, is that having your circumcised to uncover your ears, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
another
to uncover or reveal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ears open and clean so they can hear. Yeah, there is an imagery of digging the ear and cleaning the junk out of the ear so you can hear right. That's used symbolically for a servant and that type of thing. And in fact, they even used a symbol of piercing an ear to indicate the open ear to the master. You know, and that's the reason why they did that. the symbol of open ear and obedience and surrender and that type of thing. Okay, Hegla, to carry away into exile, Lamad, to learn, and Limeth, to teach. So there's a call and a PL form of the same root, and one's learn, one's teach. One's more passive, one's active. Okay, Rava and Yerbeh, to become numerous or to be great, and then Hirba, to increase, to make numerous. So there's some similarities there. And then the nouns. We've got Chok, meaning statute. And we're going to talk about statutes and commandments and so forth here in this text. We're going to get into Deuteronomy. And Chukka is a statute also. And looks like it's derived from the same root. Mishpat is judgment, court decision. So it can refer to God's judgments, his decisions in court, as it were, his judgments concerning things. And it can also refer to an actual courtroom situation and judgment. And Levav is another synonym for lave, meaning heart, which is a longer form. Question?
I think those words for judgment and statue are a pretty good definition. I noticed, I was looking at the translations last night.
Mm-hmm.
They mix them up royally.
Huh? Yeah.
They use the
I know
it. Statues, law for all.
I think we had the grad class study. We were talking about the law and talking about the biblical basis of morality. We're looking at the law and so forth. I think some were trying to dig into differences between judgments and statutes and so forth, and we're not able to find anything really. The one thing, this mishpat, that, you know, there's a verb shafat, to judge, and so this is a participle from that. So, you know, it makes sense there. But some of the others, you know, it was real hard to tell what's a statute versus a commandment or a, you know, ordinance or something like that. There's, apparently some words are used more in association with some of the ceremonial sacrificial offerings, that type of thing, and others are used other ways, but it was hard to find a consistent pattern. I don't know if we really, you know, if anybody really pursued it thoroughly enough to do that, but that's one of the reasons why the translations go all over the map. So it's not a real easy one. There's another study for somebody to do someday. Okay, exercises. We'll go ahead and start with these. It doesn't take long to get through these chapters, but it'll take longer to get through the exercises. So number one says, for each of the following jussive and converted forms, first give the corresponding normal imperfect and then the perfect. So, for example, if you have Yerev, then you'd give Yarbeth, which would be your Hifil imperfect, and then Hirbah, which would be your Hifil perfect. In other words, you have to decide whether it's Hifil or Kal or whatever it is, and then give the appropriate form. So this should be a fun exercise. Number one, then, Yoshev. Want to take a stab at that, John? What would be the...
Well, first of all, they've got that colon wow in there instead of the way...
Yeah, this is from... it's because it's from a one-yod verb.
I know, it's from Yashav.
Yeah. Right. Remember your one-yods? That was a few chapters back. Did you? Yeah, you probably will, because it's harder to remember what chapters, what was covered. Let's see, unless I get her. It was just chapter 45, really. Just the imperfect first. So if you know it's from Yeshua. Okay, the perfect would be Hoshiv, Yerikyot. Because the last part of it is just regular. The only thing irregular is the Yod, one Yod.
Okay.
So the perfect would be Hoshiv, and the imperfect would be what? Third person masculine singular. Page 222, you can see Horiv and then Yoriv. So the pattern would be the same. I didn't give the. I gave you the perfect whole sheep.
Okay, you gave me the perfect. I was looking for the perfect, and it comes out the same.
I kind of reversed it on you there.
So, whole sheep would be the
perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And the imperfect would be
Yosheev. Yeah. They're identical except for one's got a hey and one's got a yod. Yeah. So it'd be Yosheev and then Hosheev. Yosheev for the imperfect, Hosheev for the perfect. If he forms from Yashav. Okay. Both of these forms have a Hirik Yod. Yosheev and Hosheev. Hirik Yod. So your first form should be Yod, Cholom Wow, Sheen, Hirik Yod, Beit. And then your perfect should be Hey, Cholom Wow, Sheen, Hirik Yod, Beit. Okay, you game to try one, Tony, on this? Number four?
Yeah.
Four is next.
Four.
Yeshek.
I think it sounds
like Shekha.
Yep.
To drink. You know, cause to drink. Well, Shekha, it means probably water or something, and then the hip heel would be. That's what you have here, to cause to drink. Okay, so what would be the normal imperfect form then, if you know that? Okay, well, you get a different vowel point on there. It'd be Yashke. Yeah. Let's see. Where I got that? Yeah, me Yashke. That'd just be a regular imperfect form. So, you know, you've got an example with Rava there. This would be, that's Yar Be. This would be Yashke. Same thing. Patak under the Yod, Sheen with Shawa, Kaf with Segol and Hay. And the the perfect would be what?
Hishka.
Okay, so you should have Yashka and Hishka, if you'll forms of Shaka there.
And this was adjusted form?
The form they give you is adjusted form. Mm-hmm. And remember with adjusted, with the three hays, the hay's gone, and that's why three hays are the trickiest in adjusted, because they get shortened. And then you get the segulic pattern, too. Okay, number 12, Eric, Yan.
Oh, we didn't have number 8.
Oh, I'm sorry, 8 is next. Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to throw you off. He had all 8 all prepared. I'm sorry, 8 is the next one. Yekel.
Okay. I had to hold on
for
number
12.
I couldn't figure it out.
All right. Okay. Yeah, Price will get that one then. Okay. I'll have to admit it's a little tricky.
Yeah, well, Yekel in the book. And for perfect,
Yikle. Mm-hmm. Yikle.
Perfect is Kala.
Yes, Kala. Okay, good. Yeah, this is just a call form. So this is just your ordinary old three-hay call. And again, the only way you can tell is that the calls have hirik in the jessif, whereas the the others have Segol or Seri, the hifiels. And then, of course, if it happened to be a one yod, I mean a one guttural, you wouldn't be able to tell because you'd have pathoks in both places. So this is a call This is a call form. The form that given here is a call adjusted call. And so your call form for your imperfect would be just Yikla, and for the perfect would be Kala. Two comments there. What's that?
The first one.
Okay. Yolf with Hirik, Kaf with Shawa, Lamas with Segol and Hay. Yikla. And then your perfect would just be Kaf with Dagesh and Kamas, Lamas with Kamas and Hay. Okay. You can see page 144 if you want a review of the paradigm for those three hays. There's a chart there. I don't know if that exact verb is. Yeah, that verb is even on there. So, Yikla. It's about the fifth one down in that list. Okay, now we come to 12, the fun one. Did you figure it out, Bryce?
I got some good
you on?
Here.
Yeah. Okay, see what you got.
Now, I'm trying to put them into perfect and imperfect.
Yes. You put it into whatever you find it in. In other words, this is adjusted form of something. It might be call, it might be hifio, it might be peel, it might be pu'al, it might be whatever, So what you've got you're supposed to put it in the imperfect of the same, derivation as this one. So if it's call, you give me the imperfect call. If it's hifio, give me the imperfect hifio, whatever.
Well, I don't know what it is. I got both call and hifio.
Okay. Well, try again.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something like the.
So you've got Shawa there, and it's not. See, they're adjusted or converted forms, I guess, really. If you look at page 202, you can get a hint. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's in the vocab there. Mm-hmm. Inna.
How about that?
And then they give you the jussive. It's irregular. It's got shawa pathak. So this is actually a PL verb. Inna. And the jussive form is given there. Some of these they just have to give you the jussive because you don't know what it's going to be. So that was rather tricky.
Oh,
I'll have to admit. Yeah, and then you got your answers right there, both of them too.
I had already asked for the verb to answer.
Oh, did you? Yeah. It's probably why you put it in there, to trip you up on that. But it's that vowel pattern, you see. If it were a hifiel, it would have a theri or a sagol there. I don't know if you really call these irregular because just as... I don't know if there's a consistent pattern in the peel for the adjusive.
It's a tree game.
I think with the peels, they don't even put the adjusive in the normal. Let me check something else here. I want to check and see if there is a normal pattern for them. Some of the verbs don't have very adjusives and don't use them that much and so forth, so they kind of have to treat them one-on-one. That's what it looks like here, because the paradigm doesn't even include the adjusive. So it looks like some verbs are using it, some aren't, and so forth, so that they went ahead and put one down for you there. So I don't know if it's really worth looking at a common pattern in that or not. They don't seem to be setting it up that way. Well, just saying that in this chapter, the adjusive forms, if you look at page 228, the adjusive forms, like those of call verbs and so forth, show the loss of final stem, etc. And then it says, hifiel verbs then are distinguished from call verbs only by having segol and not hirik or tseri. I guess it's segol that's the hifiel. And not hirik or tseri in the first syllable of the adjusive. So some of the call forms had either hirik or tseri in that first syllable. But the hifiels are going to have segol. So when you see something like ya'an there, it's not going to be a hifiel imperfect because a hifiel adjusive, because that would have a segol there. And it's not call either, because a call will either have hirik or tseri. So
that segol is right there, huh?
Well, I guess, oh, you mean the segol, yeah, that's the regular form for hifiel. Now this one's got a shawa on it, and that's just something you haven't seen. And there wasn't a paradigm set up for the adjusives of PLs. At least in the textbook here. So I don't know if you're going to see this consistent with all PLs, that they're all going to have Shua in the first syllable on the adjusted or not, but at least this one does. In other words, they did this with vocabulary, just gave you what the adjusted was. Because sometimes the adjusteds tend to be, they tend to be forms that in narrative they're used a lot. You see, and they're using them in these sequences, and you tend to shorten things, and you tend to see more exceptions in adjusteds than you do in other forms. So that may be what's happened here too. Okay, so that was the trickiest one of them all. Well, we haven't done the last one, but we already, well, the other ones we've already, the last one we've already given away. So.
15.
Yeah, 15 then, Doug. Yuck.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting
styling
on your page.
Okay,
so it's
Yakeh. Yeah, Yakeh.
And
Hikka. Yeah, Hikka. Okay, the Hifil from One Nun. All right, good. Then the translation part here, we just did numbers 1, number 9, number 18. So, Peter, why don't you try on number 1 there? Read it in.
Hayak and Hamitri, Hayak, Haro, Oto, Wayak, Wayikpur, Oto, and Imate.
Okay, good.
He smote the Egyptian, and he killed him, and he buried him, lest he be found.
Good, real good, yes. And he smote the Egyptian, and he slew him, or killed him, and buried him. There's so many words for kill. And he slew him and buried him, lest he be found. Good. Pen is lest, and then you got the imperfect form here, and it's a nifal from matzah. So to give you the passive idea, lest he be found.
Remember that
dagation
from
there? Yeah, the dagation, the maim there, is because it's a nifal form. That's where the nun goes in the imperfect. Remember, the nun assimilates in the imperfect on the nifal forms. So that's what it's for. That's your tip-off, you know, that it's a nifal. That's your most reliable tip-off anyway. Of course, when you get a Bagad Kefat letter, you can't tell that one from the normal. Of course, usually you wouldn't see it closed there, doubled there anyway, so you can usually pretty well tell. Okay, remember your construction of pen and plus the imperfect lest something happen. That was something that was given to you before, too. Okay, any questions? And he smote the Egyptian and slew him and buried him lest he be found. That's a pretty good, you know, complicated sentence as far as its forms and verbs and so forth. It shows you what we have attained unto in Hebrew. Yeah.
He would be found.
That would probably be all right too. That you're just giving a little bit modal light type of lest he would be found, or you could almost say so that he would not be found, or lest he would be found, lest he might be found. Something like that, lest he be found. That's just a matter of English idiom, what sounds best in English. Okay, verse number 9. Who's up next? John?
Lamesa Oti et Oteka wa Ethia Laish Sadiq.
Okay.
He taught me your statutes, and I became a righteous man, or a man of righteousness.
Okay. There's one thing as far as the structure is concerned, the verb forms here. Lamed would be, it's an imperative form. It's teach me, the PL imperative. So it would be teach me.
Teach me.
Yeah, teach me your statutes, and I will become a righteous man. See, the become is coming from this ehya, it's imperfect. See, there's the sequence of imperative plus imperfect is do this so that this. Yeah, so that I will become. And become I'm kidding just because it says ehya l'ish.
Oh, it's lame,
not
yeah. Okay, I was thinking it was the in the PL just regular.
Oh, yes, yeah. If it was a hirik, then it would have been the regular. But this is the imperative. It's got the baka. Yeah. All kinds of little tricks they have to remember. What page is the PL pattern? First.
PL.
I mean the paradigm for PL, the original one, yeah. So we can just review it.
193,
okay. Okay, 195, yeah, there it is. So we had Giddale for the perfect, Yigadale for the imperfect, and the imperative was Gaddale, see, Pathak. So it's usually what happens is it's usually the imperative. You can chop off the first syllable of the imperfect, and you usually get the same vowel point. So that's it's got Dale. Mm-hmm. And so this would be La Mede. Yes, it pretty well works. I haven't checked to see if it's consistent everywhere, but it's a fairly good rule of thumb. But when you get in the hifios, you get enough changes and stuff where I don't think you can trust that anymore. Eric, did you have something?
Yeah, I have that question about the idiom here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't remember it, so I put down to so that I will be righteous to every man.
Oh, I see. So I will be righteous to every man. Yeah, I don't think it's... it's highly, highly improbable, let's put it that way, just because of the order. Because you would have Tzaddik first, and then if you reverse the order, then it'd be more probable to take it the way you had, so that I will be righteous to a man. But another thing, too, is that the Ehyeh... that would work if you reversed it, but because it's in this order... you kind of expect when you see Haya, you know, and then the preposition Lama right after it, that's the idiom for becoming. So you probably want to keep those together. You'd have to change the word order to get the other meaning across. Okay, so teach me your statutes so that I will become a righteous man. All right, number 18. Tony, you want to take crack at it or you want to pass? Okay. Puts everybody else in the class in jeopardy. They don't know whether he's going to take it or pass. And he keeps you on your toes. And they all have to prepare for the next two instead of just one. Okay.
Slide it over here.
Yeah, right.
You always know where you stand.
Okay. Tony. 18.
Right. Yawa. Asher, Asa, Et, Moshe, Wa'asher, A'ela, Et, Avosekem, Me'eret, Yisrael.
Okay.
And I'm having a little trouble with the translation, but...
It is a little bit different than what we've seen, I suppose.
I'm going to say it this way, 16:31. That which Yahweh did to Moses, and that which
this is not easy. I think what you almost have to do here is to make this asher a substantive almost. And have a supply of verb to be between Yahweh and asher. You know, I think, you know, looking at this, it doesn't seem to work any other way. So Yahweh is the one which, the one who. See what I'm saying? Huh? Yeah, almost a comma there. Yahweh, which, yeah. Yahweh is the one which, because we don't, you know, if this was fit into another context or something, you might be able to get by with it, but since it's an isolated sentence like this, you almost have to put a predication in it to make sense. So I would maybe say Yahweh is the one, and maybe put the is the one in parentheses or something, is Yahweh is the one which made Moses. So we're talking about Yahweh. Yahweh is the one which made Moses. Yeah.
And the other part is, which the fathers go up or ascend.
Yeah, caused them to ascend. So, caused your fathers to ascend. Yeah, or brought your fathers up, maybe. Brought your fathers up.
Right, from the land of Egypt.
From the land of Egypt, yeah. So Yahweh's the one... Okay, Yahweh's the one who made Moses and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Can't see any other way it'll fit. As it stands, you know, by itself. It's possible in another sentence structure to say something like You know, the one that we worship is Yahweh, who brought up your, you know, made Moses and who brought up the covenant. You know, if you had another predication in the previous clause, then you could go ahead and just take it literally. But without that, you almost have to make a predication here to make a full sentence. So that's the main reason for that.
It is Yahweh.
Okay. Yeah, it is Yahweh who.
Mm-hmm. Because you get the sense of it, but you get the feel without the verb.
I like that. I think that would be fine. Yeah, it is Yahweh who did this, and it is Yahweh who.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions? All right. In reading, we're going to do all of that. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. So we'll get the Shema in here finally. Verse 4, anyway.
He didn't capitalize.
Yeah, he didn't even capitalize it. Yeah, he found in one of the Hebrew texts, in Tanakh, he had...
The ayin on the end of Shema.
The ayin on the end was...
The ayin on the end
very large,
Shema.
And the dalet on the end of Echad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were double-sized and heavy.
Yeah. They had really, you know, put it... The ayin at the end of Shema and the last letter in Echad were very large in print and so forth. It was like it was really drawing attention to it.
The other one, too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I'll have to look it up again for you.
Okay.
And it is something to do with something that's a promise or something.
Oh, okay. That could be it. All right. Well, Eric, I guess we're up to you then, verse 1.
Tiba Yahweh Elohim Le Lamed Etchem La Otot La Azot Baal Asher Atem Ibrim Shama Le Rishta.
Mm-hmm. Rishta.
I had a problem with the last song.
Okay. Well.
Perfect.
Sure.
And this is the commandment, statute, and the judgment which Yahweh your God commanded to teach you to be doing in the land which you Hebrews thither.
Okay, the problem that where you got off is that Ibrim is from Avar. It's a participle from Avar to cross. And so it's a participle plural, so it's which you are crossing. See, Atem Ibrim would be which you are crossing, thither, Shama, thither, and then to possess it. And the Ah there at the end is referring back to land, the land, you know, Ba'aretz. So it's that resumptive pronoun idea, except it's not really appearing as a pronoun to you, it's appearing as a suffix on the, that's why he gave you a footnote on it.
What is that, right?
It's an objective suffix.
When is
the
verb form?
Rush. Oh, Lirasha.
Rasha, three hair. There wouldn't be a three hair.
Okay. To possess, I didn't put down the root here. This is probably Rasha, something like that.
Something we must have known.
I think we did have a verb for possessing. It looks, my guess would be an infinitive construct with preposition lamath and pronominal suffix, objective suffix. That's why he gave you a note about the objective suffix, but let me check, it may be a different verb. If it's that, it's from Rasha, something like that.
I didn't find anything.
Yarash, okay, it's a one yod.
To inherit or to dispossess.
Okay, it's from Yarash. And there's the tricky part.
Oh, okay. You will possess it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a perfect
sentence. Well, let's see, no.
Here.
No. Let's see, a one yod, infinitive construct. Might check and see, those guys may lose the... may lose the yod and just have Rosheth or something like that, Resheth. It's probably what had happened. It's probably a one yod that gets an infinite construct. It's shortened. And then it's a suffix. I'm almost certain this has to be a preposition lamed on an infinite construct. At least that's what I'd put my money on. Let's see if we can check this. What we need to find is infinitive construct of one yod. Call.
138.
Yeah, I think some of them get that, you know, segulate pattern. And I think that's what we've got here. That's what I smell anyway.
Yeah, Shab is the segulate.
Okay, yep. See, what you have is, like, look at Yarad, for example. You've got Redeth as your infinitive construct. The yod drops off, you get a segulate pattern. So that's what we've got here. And then you put a lamed on the front of that, and you get, and then put the suffix on the end, and you have what we have over here.
On top of page 139, we have the verb too.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. And they give you resheth for the infinitive construct. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got, resheth with a suffix on it. And then preposition lamed on the front.
Definitely going to need an
analytic. Yeah, some of these, you know, admittedly, there are forms, especially when you're dealing with three hays, one yos, one nuns, the ones that get these shortened forms of where they're awful hard to tell when you first look at them. You know, a person could try to press himself and force himself to memorize all the details of this, but it wouldn't be worth the effort because you don't use it often enough. You're far more efficient to learn to recognize all the regular forms and then know when you're dealing with an irregular form, I've got something here, I better look this one up. And that'd be the fastest way to do it. You know, if you're doing your own personal study, I wouldn't bother. I'd say, I know I got something strange here. Let me just look this one up real quick and find it. Rather than trying to hunt through the book and find, well, it might be this, it might be this, it might be this. The quickest way is just look it up and find out. So there, you know, it'll help you be judicious in your use of the helps and so forth. Okay. Any other questions on that? Yes. Let's see. Yes. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your God commanded to teach you to do. So it looks like a series of infinitives there, to teach you to do. So we've got preposition lamed on the infinitive construct of teach, and then the object of that, and then to do, another infinitive construct with preposition lamed.
I thought that was part of the form.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So you thought the doing was a participle. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So to teach you to do in the land which you are crossing thither to possess it or inherit it or whatever. And that's kind of awkward, but the land which you are crossing thither to possess might be best. They use the resumptive pronoun. That's what their customary thing is. Okay. That was going to ring here, but maybe we can get started with. Who's next? Price? At least you can read some of the Hebrew.
Ma'an, Tira, Yes, Yahweh, Loheka, Lachamor, El, Kal, Ku, Ko, Thou.
Yeah, hukofau. Hukofau. You get all the sounds.
Thou.
Yeah, it's a mitzvothau. Yeah, you got to watch on that one because it has to be it can't be a cholam wow because of this shua in the previous letter. It's already got a vowel point. So mitzvothau. Okay.
Asher, Noki, Mitzvotka.
Mm hmm. Chayeka.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ulamaan. Yeah. You get that U there in for the conjunction. Okay.
In order that you may fear Yahweh your God, to keep all His statutes and His commands that I commanded you, your son and the sons of your sons, all the days of your life, in order that your days may be long or numerous or
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Several things there. I'll have to go through. We're out of time now. So tomorrow we'll.